sure your top friends are eating that in bread every week. Spurgeon was a Baptist preacher. And if you don't know that, I think you said there that I'm going to quote it. Therefore, I share a quote or something that he has said, you know, something about this, about his background before he said it. But I read a quote from him. And it comes from a lot of the sermon online that we're trying to drive use of preaching ones into a congregation of about 10,000 people in the 19th century. A lot of sermons were compared to Christ. And so we have a lot of that material. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, like anybody else. You have to sit and be discerned. But I hear about this quote. He said, it is a long time since I preached the sermon, but I was satisfied with it. I simply recollect ever having done something. You do not know, for you do not hear my brother before I go home from day after Sunday. In which I am going to preach and my wife says, listen to me, why I'm coming back more than anything you can ever have in power. I try to keep myself more in these ways. One of the rules of God is right. And for that matter, once a song has been published, recorded, and for that matter, what the sermon has been preached and put up on YouTube, it no longer belongs to the creator. The author of the song or the author of the book, the author of the sermon, we have to publish experiences again. I didn't even realize, and I'm sure that's not all of it, but I didn't even realize what would actually happen to me on Sunday nights. Sunday night, Monday, the life we're made for, the freaking problem now, the Sunday night, Monday, one of those, the post Sunday session. I wasn't the only one that ever felt that way. But while the Christ is still in the author's mind, whether it's a song or whether it's a book or whether it's a sermon, he or she, regardless, depends on what we're talking about, has all the rights to it, all the rights to what it might yet become. What stage it could possibly take? While it's still in the mind, it's just a seed. It's full of potential. But, as Jesus said, except the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it can't really produce it. No one can see the plant, but one can see the vines. And then it can become something, but now it's in the earth and soil in a different way. We know that from the parables as well, from it. And the author relinquishes all control. And now, whatever it is, whether it's a song or whether it's a book or whether it's a sermon, it's now given new birth in the mind of the hearer. And they will do with it what they will. There's absolutely no control that the author has. Any more is public, it's dogma, it's concrete. No determines that it's you can't apply all of it. You can't go YouTube and anything. It's done. Why I literally go back to YouTube and listen to too much. I do, by the way. I used to get my thoughts and use those items because I need to go with that. But I felt like that prayer was very wrong. That prayer was just in this middle of the talking about. But yet, even the most prolific Bible that you can have, and somebody wrote a PhD, human being for God was open on Friday afternoon. But all that remains to make it out the progress of all creation that he created on the seventh. All that remains now is in substance. And in essence. Secondly, the biblical text, the biblical corpus, the biblical Bible, is in that sense dead letter. Now, in another sense, you and I know from this word, well, the word of God is living, next to it. But that's to know that it's totally different text from the sense of the Bible. I don't disagree with that, obviously. But what I mean is, it's dead, it's done. He wrote it this way, that it was once for all time delivered in place. It's done. No revision, no change, save the revision. All that remains of the Bible now is its inspection, analysis, dissection. It's not growth, it's not living, it's done. And what does it mean about that to bring all of that in service to the fundamental theme that I want to point out to you again? What does it mean to that, if I lay this, it doesn't come from within the rest of the world. It doesn't only come from within our rest or from within Christ's or Christianity's friends. This also comes from agnostic scholars, modern agnostic textual and historical scholars, people like Mark Burton, the gospel writers, and all of the New Testament writers, James, Paul, Peter. It's also the core message of the gospel. We're being marked by historical changes. Now, we're talking about something that was 2,000 years ago. If we didn't get solidarity, if we didn't get agreement about the narrative, about the narrative, subsequently, in the 200 years, we can pretty much speak to the whole thing. We might not have all the details, but we're pretty good at it. But what God delivered to us in the New Testament was a finished product. Instantly. Now, I know the New Testament was years. It took most of the first century of the day to be for all the writings of the day. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the core message of the gospel that was preached. The core of what we would refer to as Christology, study of the Christ, was done, signed, sealed, delivered, the mention of Holy Saul. Signed, sealed, and delivered in moments as fast as the creation itself. And it never underwent any revision whatsoever. None. Even the agnostic scholars say within months, within some historical standard, within seconds. The gospel message of Jesus Christ and his crucified, the agreed upon idea of the gospel, this is what it is. This is the message. This is the substance of the message. This is what, out of which everything else will grow, Jesus Christ and his crucified was done instantly from the moment that Jesus was resurrected. Nobody ever altered the story. Never! That form that Paul talked about And you know, for any of us who are not believing in him, except Jesus Christ and he's being crucified. Paul, not personally, but in his spiritual walk with Christ, ultimately said, we are going to honor this young soul. And we are not going to deviate. We've never deviated. Our people have never deviated from day one. And this is the message. Nobody ever came along among the original disciples, or even some stories of disciples as far as we can tell, but then, you know, this doctrine seems to be kept along. Maybe we need to keep it a little bit. Their evidence in the remainder of the meeting that those things were coming, they were. Paul talked about them in the book of Galatians. Peter again talks about the not word accepting, probably as a word that means they were stuck in by the side of the Lord. He was coming. But the doctrine was established. And later in this volume, Paul, in chapter 15, gives us, for aught I know, the most concise version of this that we have in the letter. And I know you're familiar with it, or at least most all of you are familiar with it. Paul says, now I remind you, brethren, of the doctrine I preach to you, which is in which you're standing. And by which you are being saved, if you hold back the word I preach to you, unless it will be for condemning. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was there. And that he rose again the third day. Colossians 1:15-20, and Philippians 2:3-11, let the time be new, offer and great peace to you in the world of God, and our lives in the world of God, and you felt no reputation. You know that. The little singing songy verbs that you're in the midst of the sin, well, that's sin, speeches for you. Thank you. Jesus, who you have crucified, God has raised up and made him Lord and Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no way that the disciples who fled the scene of Jesus' arrest would have hibernated in Jerusalem for 7 weeks and came out of Christology with the parts that changed the world for good. There's no way to do that. Settle the new temple on March 7th, the one that was that morning. But the reality is, the doctrine of Jesus Christ being crucified was being preached earlier than the day of the cross. It's even earlier than the scholars say. The according to Luke, in his Gospel of chapter 24, Jesus began preaching Jesus Christ and then crucified. He was even sprinkled on the road to Emmaus, the minute he was resurrected. Jesus had one sermon after his resurrection, and the title of it was Me and Me Crucified. Our model Christ has suffered these things, and he entered into his glory. And he astounded them in Moses and all the prophets of any concerning himself. Even Jesus wouldn't leave the doctrine. Even Jesus wouldn't stray away from the main thing. With him and then crucified. And he also decided that the reason why he preached himself crucified and resurrected. Because that's what Moses and all the prophets would agree to. And so it would be no surprise that after his resurrection, Jesus not only preached Jesus Christ and then crucified, but he spent 40 days showing his disciples to him. Crucified, buried, and resurrected. With many infallible proofs we record in Acts chapter 1, showing them for 40 days that we, Christ died according to the scriptures, then were buried, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Excellent assembly that recorded in Acts chapter 1. The call of God, who sent here, to God, who is your preaching. When they're preaching and teaching, if they have gone through all of that, and that's for you, and well, you can read the sermons in the book of Acts. I'll give you one and think what the title of every one of these sermons was. You can read it yet. There's uniform of preaching, there's special methods. You know what happened. So we don't describe all of the input. They don't tell them. They don't ask. They don't know how to do it. They don't do things. They don't do miracles. They don't do devil's things. They don't do the stuff out there. I met the people who fall in this room. You want to do this. Let's go to a little word. You go on your Bible app, on your phone, on your laptop, on the web browser, and just go to the book of Acts and search the number of time in the Greek. Well, ready, and stop. The uniform of Greek one sermon, Jesus Christ, and the Greek Bible. That's version I'm not really. I never satisfied with my own efforts. Thank God knows me for anything or any of us just living our Christian life and walking our Christian walk. That is not performance. That is thank God. We would never be satisfied with our efforts. I'm sure that we are not. our own lack of skill, our own lack of awareness, our own lack of insight, our own lack of wisdom at times, our own lack of self-control, whatever it is. I'm never satisfied with my own effort. I'm never satisfied with my own skill in preaching the gospel. But I do find that I'm a lot more satisfied. And you know, we did a series on this. Sermons are on the release of Christ and crucified and all the death. That's not the point, and I hope that's not what we've gotten. I would be blessed and sure it's not. It in itself is an illustration of exactly what it's called to see. And what we really were about, we can never be lost. We can't be directly lost, we can never be lost. And we do need to move on to our next. I can tell you this, I'm so much more satisfied within my study, in my preparation, in my prayer, and in my delivery, that you remember. That you remember that you beat this Christ and been crucified and sent to Jesus on this. I believe we're all there. And Jesus Christ has been crucified at the center of our life and of our thinking and our reason and our thinking. Because if you're an inward problem, you're crucified. It's further in the book. You are outside of Christ. Remind you that Christ Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. He died and was buried and resurrected for your glory and for your honor. Because we never obeyed him and never submitted to the gospel. The good news is Jesus, we want to encourage you to take seriously that of the next for half of yourself. And it's a time of God and encouragement.